Some days are terrible. You wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Congratulations on not killing yourself. Welcome to the Voices in Our Heads. I'm Christina Marie Hutchinson, and I'm here today to remind you to floss. I started flossing again. I stopped for a long time. And every time I floss, I never feel like it, you know, but I do it. And then every time I do it, I don't regret it because my, oh my, is that floss dirty. And I floss after I brush my teeth. And I'm like, damn, I would have skipped this step and all that shit would have been in my teeth while I slept. And that can't be good, you know? So floss. I feel like gum health, there's probably studies to back this up. Probably also studies to contradict what I'm about to say. But I think that flossing is really good. There's no negative benefits, you know, unless you floss too hard. Don't floss too hard. It's like jerking off too hard. You're just going to bleed everywhere. I went rollerblading today. That's why I'm so happy. I have a lot of energy and I've been running a lot because I'm a runner now. I don't know if you guys know that about me, but my name's Christina and I run. Oh my God, thank you. It is hard. I don't like doing it, but I force myself to do it anyway because that's progress. There's something really potent spiritually about forcing yourself to do something you don't want to do, but you know that it's going to benefit you. It's great because I love a comfort zone. I'm just like my dog, Kevin. I love being comfortable at all times. I don't like extreme temperatures, too hot or too cold. I don't like blankets that are itchy. Or sweaters that are itchy, you know, I always want to be very comfortable. And so I'm just trying to not be comfortable so I can get better at life. So I could be a millionaire so I can get all that money back that I gave to my parents for their house. It's technically my money, but will I see it for a while?
No.
So who cares, right? But I went rollerblading and RJ Spina, who I'm going to read some stuff from him to you in a moment. Well, at the end of the episode. He has a bunch of exercises you can do that kind of immediately change your energy, which I'm all about immediate change. And one of them is pretend like you just got here. Okay. So pretend like close your eyes. You're new to the world. You open them. You're here for the first time. You're seeing everything for the first time. It's pretty potent. It works. I gotta say, I do have a really good imagination. My imagination game is strong. So maybe that's why it's potent for me, but it can be potent for anybody. You just got to try, okay? Just try it. It's not going to hurt. And so I did that today, and I was like, Christina, look at this beautiful park that you look down on. You have shoes, yes, but you also have a pair of shoes with wheels on them that can make you go fast. Let's put those on and go rollerblading, baby. And I had my headphones on. I don't do my headphones when I jog, but I do them when I rollerblade. And I smoke a little weed, which I don't recommend if you're new to rollerblading or if you don't like weed. But, you know, you want to make sure you're real comfortable with that balance. I'm very comfortable on the blades. So I smoked a little bit of weed. I had some hip hop playing in the ears and I rode this wave of electricity that I could best describe as the exact same wave of electricity I would ride when I would ask my mom to drop me off at Montgomery Mall at the age of 14. And I would wear my sluttiest shirt. And because I just got these tits and I'm like, these look good. Let's take these babies for a walk. And I would just do laps around the mall with headphones on. I would have my CD player and I'll be listening to probably Alanis Morissette or NSYNC or Hanson and or Salt and Pepper. And I would just walk around the mall feeling hot as fuck. And I would just have my eyes straight. And I'll just be like, I'm the hottest bitch in the land. That's the exact wave of electricity I was blading on. It was really nice. I felt like I was in a movie. I felt like every second of that rollerblading sesh that I just had was every slow-mo shot in a movie where the heroes finally triumphed over something and then they're walking out and fire is exploding behind them. And they're so cool. Oh, I love those scenes. I love them. I did look out my window earlier today. I took Kevin out for a walk. That's the first thing I do. Because if I don't do that first, he'll poop and he'll just shit and piss everywhere. So I'm like, okay, sire, I'll take you out now, Jesus. And I took him out, came back upstairs, looked down from my window, and I was like, I saw this this pier where Gary hangs out with the willow trees in Long Island City. Oh, such a good neighborhood. Don't move there. There's too many people there. Okay. So it's great, but love it from afar. And I was like, oh my God, there's a flea market. There's all these booths with art for sale. And I looked down. I'm like, Kevin, get your coat back on. We're going to go. There's a flea market. We got to go buy some art. So I took one of my credit cards that's almost maxed out that I shouldn't be spending any money on. And I put Kevin in his coat and I put my shoes on and I marched down to that flea market. And then I was like, hey, how much is this? And no one was helping me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it was just all these dudes with beanies on. And then I saw the wires and I'm like, oh, this is a fucking set. It's not a flea market. I was very upset. Thumbs down. Do not, if you're going to tease me with a flea market of art, can you have a big sign? Because you're amongst a lot of tall, high-rise apartment buildings. Have a big sign that says, this is a set. Don't waste your time getting ready and coming down here.
They let you wander into a set?
Yeah.
They didn't stop you
at all?
No. That's
because
outrageous.
The set wasn't set up all the way yet, I guess. They're probably, once I got down there, I'm like, oh, you're trying to put a full-fledged flea market. I thought I caught the early stages of a flea market, the best stage, because you get to have first dibs on everything. No. It was a fucking set. And I get down there, I'm like, this is a set. And I go to the guy, I'm like, dude, is this a set? He's like, yeah, it's a set. And I'm like, God damn it. Can you put a sign that I can see from my 26th floor apartment, please, so I don't waste all of our times and then get mad at you in my head? So yeah, it was a fucking set. Such a New York problem. And my headphones got weird. Uh-oh, did I do something? The wire. Oh, now they're good again. Yay. Speaking of television, I appeared on a television show last night. I was so excited. My friend, well, it's going to air Saturday, tomorrow. So by the time this comes out, it'll be on air. I imagine that people who listen to this podcast do not watch Fox News, but in the off chance that you do, one, what's your problem? Just kidding. But my friend Jimmy Fallon, who's a comedian, one of the first comedians I ever met, he hosted bringer shows that I started doing when I was in the first couple of years of stand-up. And don't do bringer shows. They're a scam. Take a class. That's money well spent. But I met Jimmy there, and then he gave me my first ever road gig. And I remember we got paid $300 cash. I didn't do stand-up on the road gig. I was a DJ for this college game show called Text Wars, where we just gave out money. But my role as the DJ was just to click a PowerPoint, just to click the mouse on the PowerPoint. I got paid $300 cash. Can I just tell you, I came back home from those gigs. I'm like, I'm a millionaire. I have $300 cash. I was 22. I'm like, this is bliss. And so he started working at Fox News years ago, I don't know. But he worked his way up, and now he hosts Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. He's got a billboard in Times Square. I'm so proud of him. So he asked me to be on the show, and it was a panel show. So he does a monologue about the news, and then he throws to the panel. So I watched a couple clips of the show online to do some research, and I wrote, my friend Haley and I wrote all these jokes, about the news. And I didn't get to say any of them. So I'll read some of these here. First of all, I mean, you have to know Jimmy to get this joke, but he always wears blazers with like sparkles on them. And I was going to tell him that he has craps table at Atlantic City Energy. And then I was going to go, do you and Fran Drescher share the same stylist? Thank you. It's funny if you know what he looks like. And then I wore this dress because I had a feeling sometimes when you do panel shows, you don't get a lot of chances to talk. And I've never been on the show before. So I was like, I'm the new one here. I'm going to be quiet unless spoken to. And so, but then I said, well, if I'm not going to be able to talk a lot on the show, I'm going to dress loud. So I wore this real cute dress, real, real cute dress. It was a red and white dress. And it had around the tits, it had a window with yellow curtains that showed the titties. And then I was going to, if he was going to say anything about the dress, I was going to then come back with, yeah, it showcases my greatest feature, my heart. Get it? Because it's not my tits, it's my heart. Fucking pervs. I was watching the news that morning. Trump and Biden were visiting the border. and I wrote, they're both at the border and neither of them respect boundaries. So this will be a fun learning experience. Thank you. Oh, and then I wrote, Trump's Adderall is his father's criticism. That was pretty funny. Also, Trump dresses bad, real bad. And he dresses, he's such a giant man, yet his suits are too big for him. He dresses like he's still, he's like a young boy in his father's clothes. And I think that's because he is the way he is because his father said he wasn't good enough. Guys, tell your kids you love them and that they're good enough, okay? Biden, if Biden was going to get brought up, he was. I just didn't have a chance to say this. I was going to say, don't speak ill of the dead. Because Biden's on his way out. Biden needs to win this election. Imagine kicking an elderly man out of his nursing home. Where is he going to go? If Trump wins, he should allow Biden to be his roommate. And that's a buddy comedy I could get behind. It's Fight Club meets Weekend at Bernie's. Thank you. And then I was looking up some news items that I wrote jokes on. The Air Force man set himself on fire in front of the Israel embassy. I was going to say, I've seen that kind of I haven't seen that kind of dedication to a bad idea since Nikki Haley's campaign. Okay. I don't really care about Nikki Haley, but you got to pretend you do. And then the other one is that guy behaved like me getting cheated on. I have set fires over way less. my heart goes out to his friends and family. Oh, the frozen embryos. Isn't that fun? The frozen embryo thing. Alabama Supreme Court saying that a frozen embryo is a fucking person. I have food in the back of my freezer that's growing fungi. I guess I should start talking to it. I've been on the fence about having kids. I didn't realize you were allowed to toss them in the freezer. So now I'm kind of in. And then I wrote, stop putting more hurdles in women's lives. The world functions best when women are happy. Ask any man who's married to one. Thank you. That's pretty funny. Oh, and then the other joke that I wrote about being on Jimmy's Fox show is being on the show is the most I'll have talked to my parents all year. True.
I like that one a lot.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's the only time they're going to see me. It's funny. I asked people last episode to send me in a quote that changed your perspective on something, a situation, a person, life, yourself. And I got two responses that I'll read. And you could keep sending them to me if you want. At Christina Hutch, KRYSTYNA on Instagram. DM them to me. I read my DMs, even the other inbox. So as of now, I'm letting any motherfucker DM me. So DM me. Also DM me your fuckboy screenshots. I don't have fuckboy theater this week. Hopefully, you know, I would like to think that that means that dating's just going great for everybody, but I know it's not. So send me your tragedy and I'll make it funny. This woman says, mine came after a breakup. The guy instigated the breakup, but neither of us were truly amazing in the relationship. I was going through the death of a parent, and he was avoidant slash a self-described non-emotional type. So in 6 months, I don't think we ever talked about anything that really mattered. Ooh, that's fun. Even though on paper, we were a great match. What was on the paper? He was a boy and you were a girl and you were single? That's not really like great of a match. The quote I read as I was wallowing in self-pity, love doing that, and the what ifs was, it's hard to get enough of something that doesn't fulfill you. Something clicked and I immediately stopped mourning that relationship. Good for you, girl. Good for you, girl. It is. It's hard to get enough of something that doesn't fulfill you. That's a good one. That's a good one. And then this other girl sent me an Eckhart Tolle quote. You become like a deep lake. The outer situation of your life and whatever happens there is the surface of the lake. Sometimes calm, sometimes windy and rough, according to the cycles of the season. Deep down, however, the lake is always undisturbed. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Another quote that I saw on Instagram years ago was, if you don't heal what hurt you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. I have my EMF reader today. I haven't turned it on yet, but I just want to see if there's a man in your table, Michael.
That's, yeah.
But lucky for
very
you,
possible.
I brought holy water from the River Jordan.
Oh,
and
oh thank God.
Dab it a little bit on your table in the name of by ghosts. I don't know. I'm not Catholic or religious in any way, but maybe This will help this the dead guy who got knocked. Oh, oh, oh! Did that do it?
Wow, we are—we're really throwing all sorts of ideologies.
I'm a genius. Yeah, this shit I don't even believe in, and it works.
Catholicism, Wiccan.
Okay, that's crazy though. I put holy water from the River Jordan that I bought on Amazon. Don't worry, it's going to be in my Amazon affiliate link. That is not up yet, but it probably is by the time you're listening, because apparently you got to apply for it. You got to go through a process. But yeah, I got this holy water on Amazon. It's from the River Jordan, so stop telling me things. Wow. So the ghost meter is now okay. Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a little Bill Nye science guy experiment and it worked. And I really didn't think it was going to. Love when I have an idea that works. Now let's see. Oh, Princess Diana. There's no ghost there. Oh, shit. The holy water got rid of all your... Well, you're welcome. Shit's going to about to be being way better in your studio.
Holy water's got a lot of reach.
Shit.
You rub it on the table and it cures the whole room.
Oh, I was about to go, I should drink this, but it says don't, for external
no,
use.
No.
Why? What? Wait, what?
Don't drink it.
What? Yeah, I mean, I'm not. It says for external use only. It doesn't look dirty, but I'm not.
Neither does, you know, bleach.
Yeah, it's true. Bleach is, yeah, that's true. That's a great point, Michael. That's a great point. Okay, well, this holy water did it. So if you have a spirit in your house, put some holy water on it. I'm just making that up, but you saw what you look at what just happened. Put holy water on the table and watch next time you come in the studio, there's going to be a hole where this holy water was. Yes. And like
and
half
the floor.
Of the demon coming out and like he just died because he lost oxygen. Oh, that's fun. But also too, so I'm going to get into this book, Supercharged Self-Healing. Today, I'm going to be reading a little bit of the foreword because it provides some good information. I summarized RJ's deal last episode, but I'm going to actually read an excerpt from the foreword. And then I'm going to read the introduction. And then next week, we're going to get into chapter one. And then the following week, chapter two, blah, 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 blah. It's a long ass book. But so I talked about this. I want, if you're interested, I would love the opportunity for you to hear every word of this book. And I don't want to reading this for 6 months on the voices in our heads. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is when I read chapter one next week, I'm going to only read half of, I can't read the whole thing. So I'll read the second half on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson, there's a level that's called Just Here to Listen. It's $5 a month, $5 a month. You have $5 a month and the information I'm going to provide, I mean, you could just read this book and get it yourself, but is it going to have fun and interesting, cute, charming commentary?
N-O-No.
Thank you. It is not. That is correct. It is not going to have that commentary. So I will be starting next week. There will be on my Patreon in the Just Here to Listen level, the continuation of the chapter readings. Okay. $5. Patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. Also, you could do a free trial. I think it's only for 3 days. But if you do the Just Here to Listen level, what you're also going to be able to listen to if you're interested is the audio from all of the weekly Zoom group therapies that I conduct, where I basically hold group therapy, but I'm not going to call it group therapy because I'm not a licensed therapist. Lawyer, if somebody's going to sue me. No, I'm not a licensed therapist. But I do host a discussion every week for people to say whatever they want and to come to some conclusions when they talk stuff out. And it's a really beautiful place of humanity. And two, and maybe I think this is why everybody loves reality TV. Not everybody, but some. It's just nice to like look at someone else's problem. You know, just, I don't know, what's your problem? What are you going through? Everybody's got problems. What flavor of problems do you have?
That is exactly why people like reality TV.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, this fucking bitch. She can't even behave at the dinner table. She throws it. Fuck, I'm fine. I don't got to change. You do. But, you know, I feel like that's the thought process. Yeah, so I'm going to put this ghost meter in the Amazon affiliate link. Okay. There's no ghost because I did do the holy water, also mm-hmm. purchased on Amazon. Good for me. How exciting is that? Okay. So it's going to be a short little episode because sometimes that's what it is. All right. So this is the foreword of Supercharged Self-Healing, a revolutionary guide to access high-frequency states of consciousness that rejuvenate and repair. Just some light little reading on Monday, baby girl and boys and these lambs. Okay, this is the foreword. This is by RJ's acupuncturist, okay? He's actually got a lot of awards. I'm like, I didn't even know you could get an award. for acupuncture. He's an award-winning acupuncturist and State of California Acupuncture Board member who co-creates and grades the California Acupuncture State Licensing Exams. Okay. Is that... Okay, that's an interesting thing to put as a credit. Uh-oh, there's the ghost came back.
It's back.
I'll put it near the holy water. Certified in numerous modalities, including visceral manipulation, craniosacral therapy, and neural manipulation. So this is this guy's credentials. Okay, the ghost meter, ghost came back because the holy water evaporated. So we'll just put some down again. All right. So this is the foreword. I first treated RJ at perhaps his lowest point. He was paralyzed from the chest down, and his surgeon told him to get used to it because he'd never seen a patient recover. Not with that fucking attitude. It was 4 days after he'd undergone emergency spinal surgery to remove a sizable infection that had pressed down his cord causing complete paralysis from the mid-back down. He had rampant diabetes. That sucks. Not only did he have diabetes, he had rampant diabetes. That's not ever the kind of word you want to describe your diabetes. And severe thyroid dysfunction as well. In addition to invading the spine, the lethal infection had completely overwhelmed his immune system, causing a severe autoimmune response. I am an acupuncturist, and I've treated over 75,000 patients.
Whoa.
What? That's crazy. In my 25 years as a clinician. How? There's no way that checks out. 75,000 patients in 25 years? Okay, I got to do the math on that later. I probably won't, but that doesn't seem right. Anyway, I also practice visceral manipulation and cranio osteopathy, a lineage emphasizing automatically precise manual palpation skills. That's the end of all the fancy words. We work directly with nerves, organs, arteries, fascia, and ligament tissues, bones, joints, etc. We also work directly with the brain and spinal cord. Once connected, we can then directly interact with the various tissues of the body, helping restore proper function. As I assessed RJ, his status was beyond grim. The crushed spine had caused a complete chest down paralysis. The inflamed pancreas, the retracted heart, the enlarged and nodular thyroid, multiple systems were overrun and essentially broken. I was utterly astounded by another specific feature. I could directly feel that he was totally fine. His soul was unscathed by the severe condition of his body. And that made me realize, even, I've never had a crazy physical issue with my body, knock on wood, ever. Yeah, I was going to say yeah, but no, but never. But when I do get really sick, like I've gotten really sick in my life, you just feel so depressed because your body doesn't work. And you're like, why can't I breathe, you know? Or why can't I stop coughing or what? Whatever, like you really get down. And I've always, I haven't really had many friends that have gotten crazy serious issue, like injuries with car accidents or anything. I've heard of people that like got a bike accident or a car accident and they survived, but their body's just fucking mangled. And I always imagine, I'm like, if that happened to me, I would be so not cute about it. I would complain so hard out loud to anybody near me. Like I would just have the worst, I would have the worst attitude because I don't handle pain of any kind very well. I don't know if you guys know that yet, but spoiler alert, I cannot. So yeah. So the fact that this motherfucker had a good attitude, I'm like, damn, boo, that's a head start. And also how important that is to healing, because this guy, as you will eventually hear, completely cured himself by himself. Crazy. Early during the first session, as I worked with his brain and spinal cord to help restore flow through the damaged region, I had my hand on the crown of his head. After decades of practice and experience, I can differentiate various qualities of the brain and nerves. As I felt his head, expecting to feel his brain, I encountered a vast empty space. It was absolutely vacant and silent. Of the tens of thousands of patients I have treated during my long career as a health practitioner, I have never encountered this quality. The only way I could describe it is as authentic enlightenment. RJ was fully cognizant of the adversity and razor clear that his will would manifest his total healing. I have often encountered optimism in patients battling against steep odds, but this was completely different. He was simultaneously totally focused on walking and healing while being completely at peace with his severely compromised condition. The completely at peace part, that's some ninja level shit. I mean, I don't know many people that are like that. maybe I do. I just don't know that part about them. But like that's amazing. So this guy had a little bit of a head start, but that's why he wrote the book on how to do it. And that's why we're going to learn how to do it. Okay. He exuded full acceptance while all his energy was focused on healing. Within 3 weeks, he wiggled a toe. Within 3 months, he was walking exactly as he predicted. His recovery was not linear. It was rapid, with multiple quantum leaps. Not only was the permanent chest down paralysis healed, but his diabetes and thyroid dysfunction were also resolved. I have never seen this degree of transformation, let alone in such a short time. Guys, anything's possible. I'm telling you, anything is possible, okay? While I regularly witness dramatic improvements in my patients, if I hadn't witnessed this myself, I would consider it humanly impossible. This illustrates part of his profound and almost unexplainable skill set, healing. I mean, come on. Let's go. The guy was given 2 weeks to live and couldn't walk. 100 days later, he's walking and he's fine. And the medical industry is one of the reasons, many reasons why I want to read this book. This book is not, first of all, it's not just designed to have for people with like a crazy ailment that are about to die to heal themselves. It is for them too. But it also just can help you out of various swamps you find yourself in. You know what I mean? But the medical industry in America, big old thumbs down, okay? It sucks. It blows. The way that we treat disease and illness and any kind of ailment in America, because that's the only country I know, so that's the only one I could speak to, it's terrible. And the fact that we walk around paying over $600 for health insurance if we live in New York City, I know living in New York is a choice, but Jesus Christ, do you have to rape my bank account with everything, New York? Anyway, I digress. Just walking around with insurance that costs an arm and a leg, and then you get injured by something crazy, God forbid, and then you still got to pay a lot of money. It's just, it's crazy. And then looking at the way that doctors solve problems, I know I'm not a doctor. I didn't go to medical school, okay? But my God, you guys aren't doing a great job, because I don't, if you were, I hear more success stories. This is a success story, but it had nothing to do with the doctors. I know there are doctors out there that have, that really care about their patients and do provide insane amounts of healing that the patient couldn't reach otherwise through medical intervention, through medication, through all that stuff. I'm not knocking Western medicine. I'm just saying,
Houston, it fucking blows.
Okay, for the most part. All right, so I'm going to read this book. Here's the introduction. And then we'll be on our merry way, okay? Look at you reading a book through me. Welcome, my friends. Chances are you're reading this book because you seek true liberation. Yes, RJ, I fucking do. Maybe you want to heal a physical issue. Mental suffering. Mm-hmm, mental suffering, check. Emotional trauma. Yes, also that. Or perhaps even a disease. Maybe, I don't know if I got one. Maybe I do. I want you to understand that this journey is much bigger than even that. Fasten your seatbelt, because this is a giant leap forward in the evolution of individual and collective consciousness. You are about to learn the steps that I took to heal my permanent chest down paralysis, as well as a myriad of diseases and catastrophic health issues I was diagnosed with. Tell me more. Before we get into the spiritual, physical physics of self-healing directed by the higher consciousness, I want to share with you something that is quite personal. And this is some background about his spirituality. This is an important part, because it's like, you don't, just in case anybody's going, why wasn't I born with the ability to heal myself? You were, you just didn't realize it because you weren't born spiritual, you know? Or maybe you were, in which case, good for you. Got a head start. When I was a child, I would normally and without any effort be able to see beyond the veil of our physical senses. I remember explaining to my mother that when I lay down to sleep at night, I would wake up in other realms outside this world. At the very beginning of this experience, I would close my eyes, and in a moment, I was pure spirit once again. Oh, lucky. My consciousness was outside of my body, and I would literally watch myself sleep. Sometimes I was floating above my body, and other times I was standing beside my bed. This quickly progressed, and with my consciousness effortlessly roaming our house, neighborhood, or even local mountaintops. All right, so this guy just straight up left his body when he slept. Oh, that's so cool. I want to do that. I realized that without any physical effort, my spirit could go anywhere. My lack of earthly attachment to being human and a focus, which is a big theme in this book, heads up, and focused attention were all that was required to catapult my consciousness into a much higher realm of existence. I began to interact with advanced beings and other realities. Like fucking aliens? Maybe that's what he's talking about, but he probably doesn't want to say it because he's like, y'all motherfuckers are going to put down this book if I start talking about aliens. But aliens is real, so let's get used to it. My daily and nightly adventures afforded me a significantly deeper understanding of our mind, body, spirit, and how they work in relation to the unseen world. It became totally normal for me to experience the seemingly unimaginable and to retain the depths of these magical wonders and their timeless wisdom. When I told my mom about leaving my body and traveling in the unseen world, she had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. I really thought that what I was doing was totally normal. And for me, it was. I was shocked to hear that the exact opposite was true for her and basically everybody else. Although if you're listening to this and you can fucking astral project at a moment's notice when you fall asleep, DM me at Christina Hutch. Tell me how to fucking do it, okay? Me doing this sort of thing certainly wasn't encouraged, to say the least. So I ceased talking about it for roughly 20 years. In fact, for the most part, I stopped actively doing it. Aw, RJ, don't get shame, boo. It's okay. It wasn't until I was 24 years old that I started to intellectually understand what I'd been doing naturally and effortlessly as a child. Since then, I have spent the last 25 years of my life deconstructing, exploring, explaining, and teaching what I instinctively did as a kid. With that brief recapping of my history in mind, let's fast forward to near present day. After being discharged from my 2-month hospital rehabilitation stay as a result of an unexplained catastrophic septic shock that ravaged my body and still paralyzed from the chest down, I was warned that my brittle rib cage was about to snap due to the physical exertion I was perpetually putting my body through in order to regain sensation and functionality from the chest down. I knew this physical exertion was an essential component in the journey to overcome my, quote, permanent, because it's not permanent with that attitude, bitch, chest down paralysis. This was my response to that dire warning my health practitioner had given me. Quote, I am willing to break everything in order to put myself back together again. Okay, RJ, tell him what's up. Tell him what's up, RJ. Tell that doctor with a medical degree that spent way too much money and time to tell you you can't heal what's up. I share this so everyone will understand the mindset of total victory. This is a good one, and it doesn't just apply if you're paralyzed from the chest down. Authentic repair, true healing, and spiritual transcendence of great energetic disharmony and physical dysfunction are often beyond brutal, because no healing journey is going to feel good the whole time. In fact, it's going to feel like crap, and you're going to want to die most of the time. And having that heads up is very important. Your repair and healing will be the biggest challenge you will ever give yourself. It will be filled with overwhelming fear, constant physical turmoil, and emotional upheaval. Ooh, who's horny? There will be countless disheartening setbacks, sometimes painful rehabilitation injuries, and less than encouraging medical updates. Ultimately, the entire journey of healing is a crushingly lonely individual endeavor. Sign me up for that fun ride. No, but really, you should do it. But I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. The answer to your overcoming all of this disharmony and suffering begins with knowing that none of these phenomena are you. And he's about to drop some fucking wisdom. And it's very similar, if you've read The Untethered Soul, it's a book I talk about a lot. It's the same concept. And it's so helpful to hear pretty much the same concept by all these different authors, because they have all different ways of explaining it. And then when you read all of it, you're like, okay, I kind of get it. You know, it's helpful to hear everybody's perspective. If you could perceive it, it cannot be you. That's a good one. You are what perceives. Woven within the very fabric of your perception is your depth of wisdom and love. It's deep down in there, Mikey. Don't lose hope. That is the real you. That is what eternally exists prior and gives life to the voice inside your head. Oh my God, he says, by the way, he says the voice in your head are the voices in our heads so many times. And every time I'm like, God damn, I nailed the title of this podcast because I'm a trendsetter. Okay. Your body and any disharmony it experiences. No one is going to overcome your obstacles for you. But boy, I wish they would, but it's not going to happen because they cannot see. They cannot see it. See ill health for what it really is. It's a challenge, boo. It's a challenge. Nothing more and nothing less. Accept it without hesitation so you can summon true grace and real power. Like Beyonce, I said that part. I'm going to show you how to remain supremely focused on your task. Never doubt that it won't be achieved. Do not leak your energy on any possibilities but your triumph. Bitch, never waver. What was once seemingly impossible will eventually be your manifested reality of victory if you refuse to give in. And refusing to give in, baby girls and boys and ladies of them, require enduring times where you want to give up. And most of the times you want to give up. And then when you don't, you're like, oh shit, I'm a powerhouse. Many people with chronic illnesses, addiction issues, and various physical, mental, or emotional traumas that weren't healed through other modalities have experienced a significant improvement in their well-being by practicing the Ascend the Frequencies healing technique. And he's going to be using the ATFHT for short. These people have experienced firsthand that healing comes in many forms, even beyond the physical, and that authentic healing does not exist outside of themselves, but rather within. Okay? My personal self-healing journey is medically documented and captured on video because I knew no one would believe this is possible. I am eternally devoted to helping others heal and liberate themselves using the same wisdom and techniques that I used. The 7-step Ascend the Frequencies healing technique captures exactly what I did to transcend the human ego, mind, identity. And identity is a big one, y'all. Just a heads up. He talks about this a lot, and I feel like I personally cannot hear it enough, and I think most people on this planet should be hearing this more often. We cling too hard to our identities. And your identities are, I'm a woman, I'm a white lady, I'm a girl with curly hair, I'm a stand-up comedian, I am the... No, you are sentience, bitch. That's what you are. You are not all of those things. So a lot of times, that's why people get so... You know, sometimes like when you're arguing with somebody, like when I would argue about politics with somebody who's like a far right Trumper person, and eventually I'd be talking to him and I'm like, wait a second. You just want to be right. Like, I don't think you care about logic or morality. Like, I just think you're clinging to you being right and you're just ignoring everything else. And that to me is a great example, a very common example that we encounter of people just over-identifying with a political candidate, for example. And if he loses, that means you lose. And that can't happen. So I'm going to get my sword and storm the Capitol because I don't believe in myself. So I need to believe in some other guy. Don't do that. Just stop. Okay? And heal my entire body of energy. And with the ATFHT, everyone and anyone who's sick, suffering, or seeking true ascension can now avail themselves of what has been, up until now, outside the collective consciousness. All components of the ATFHT take the current misunderstanding, application, and efficacy of neural rewiring and expound and enhance it by an order of magnitude. We are going to address how to access and cleanse our entire body of energy, not just the more obvious lower sensory realms, but authentically activating our higher consciousness. I mean, sign me the fuck up. How to use this book. Remember, true healing is not a mental exercise, emotional indulgence, or physical exertion. Damn, I wish it was. We often mentally comprehend what's wrong, but can't change our state of being or ill health. Surrender is the key to unlocking your full potential. That sucks because I don't like surrendering, but I guess we're going to have to do it. You must become one with the self in order to powerfully command the divine process of healing as explained in this book. When we talk about surrender, I mean completely, not just mentally, emotionally, or physically. Never reach for a result. That's tough for me to hear. Never reach for a result. But I love results because then they make me feel better about myself when I get them. But rather endlessly flow with the creative process itself. Working with these steps will help. The steps of the Ascend the Frequencies healing technique. Let's go. As you do the exercises in this book, dwell within the self, your essence, not in thought, emotion, or physical tension, and watch what happens to your general state of well-being and health. We'll get more into how to go about doing this in chapter 2 and step 1. Being free, being the self, will become your new habit. Ooh, let's get addicted to being ourselves. That sounds fun. It doesn't sound fun, but I feel like it'll be more fun when we're doing it. It makes for a far greater quality of life, the only true quality of life. I will guide you on your return to what is your original you, divinity, freedom, harmony, and perfection. Most of us are unwilling to change our habits or beliefs, thoughts, emotions, actions, and behaviors in order to become well and liberated. Step 1 and your tangible understanding of it is essential for your liberation and healing. It is crucial to tangibly see the egoic identity, and you will, and we will, and boy, it's not cute, in order to break its hold over you, your completeness and perfection. The efficacy of these protocols in step one are immediately palpable. True union with the remaining steps, once step one has been mastered, will yield incredible results. Here is a summary of the ATFHT program. This summary of the steps and their practices is repeated even more detail in the book's conclusion. Okay. Step one, access your true essence. Doesn't that sound tasty? Let's go out of your ego, mind, identity, and access your true essence. These simple yet immensely powerful and transformative protocols dissolve the illusion of ego, mind, identity, which is the root cause of all suffering and ill health. And I mean, because without the ego, that's why, you know, I've said this on the podcast before, and I don't mean it in a cruel way, but I feel like, you know, my mom's going to die one day, you know, just scientifically, she's going to leave her body. And I feel like when that happens, we can have like a really good relationship because her ego will have been completely gone. And your ego can get hurt by trauma, man, and shame. When you meet somebody who's ashamed of themselves, or ashamed of a part of themselves, they're such an asshole. They're either an asshole or they just don't talk or leave their home. Both are bad. And I want more for both of you. Anybody who's living in shame so hard that you can't act kindly, you don't have access to your own kindness. I mean, you do. It's just kind of, you know, it's buried underneath all the shame. Okay, step two, know specifically what you are going to achieve. Separate from your doubts and know specifically what you are going to achieve. You'll ask yourself the question, what specifically do I want to achieve? And refine your answer multiple times through repeating the question. The more fine-tuned and specific your answer, the more power you can harness to bring your specific desires into manifestation. Rather than doubting, you can marry yourself to the vibration of victory already within you. Ooh, I love that attitude. Step three, activate your healing intention. Activate the state of healing with the intention you created in step two. You will see, imagine, feel, perform, and verbalize your action. This step utilizes all fundamental human expression: mental, emotional, physical, and verbal. And again, guys, you don't have to have some crazy ass injury to reap the benefits of all this stuff, okay? Step four, command creator consciousness. You will learn how to access higher states of consciousness. This step provides the ultimate high-frequency meditation where you can access the hidden realms within the higher mind of source. And he does this meditation later in the book. It's potent. I accidentally did it in the car and I had to take a nap before I drove anywhere. Step five, channel intelligent energy into your body. Oh, this is another good meditation he walks you through. That's very potent. Step six, turn off the program of illness. Here you will learn how to turn off, unplug, and sever the connections to illness like you would unplug and take down a neon sign, just like this Slickback Studio sign. Just pretend this is your diabetes. You just unplug it and then you're okay, basically. Step seven, use the power of the spoken word. My boy Don Miguel Ruiz talks about that too. Always be impeccable with your word, baby. Words are spells. That's why they call it spelling. Ha ha ha. Here you will utilize the ancient power within the spoken word for repair, self-healing, and a greater quality of life. I mean, this is just, wait, how much more do I want to read? Okay, I'll read this little section. You can do this. How much time we have? Okay, I got a couple minutes. You can do this. Many of us get thrown off by self-care. Not me. Oh, I do it too much. That's part of my problem. That is because we are so used to being out of balance and aggressive with ourselves, even with our own healing energy. Any return of true inner balance feels odd. That's a very important part. Any return of true inner balance feels odd. That's a good point he's making. Don't expect it to feel like perfect right away. Powering through things ultimately leaves us drained of energy. When doubt that you can do this rears its head, simply ask yourself, who is it that doubts? The answer will be me. I am the one who doubts. Then ask yourself, who am I? You will get no answer. The mind will go blank. That's because the voice inside your head, the egoic identity, is not you. It's just a loop program of limitations. We are going to learn how to make the character disappear, and a superior quality of life will be revealed. As you do the work properly, your vibration rises. That is exactly how healing and a greater quality of life works. Low frequency harmony cannot exist within a high-frequency environment. I repeat, low-frequency harmony cannot exist within a high-frequency environment. It just doesn't happen, okay? That's why when you work on yourself, a lot of times your friends fall off. You can lose friendships. It's very common to like work on yourself and become a better you. And a lot of times your friends don't like that. Well, that's good because they were a lower vibration and you're getting higher and you're like, what the fuck, Lisa? Okay, bye. And then you're like, I'm sad. Lisa and Megan don't like me. But it's because Lisa and Megan living down here and now you up here, boo. You different levels. They might get there. Maybe. Hopefully. The self, your essence, is a supremely high frequency. By attuning the brain, which the body must then follow, to the supreme vibration of the self, healing occurs. Some of our new understandings will shine a much-needed light upon the idea of looking and straining for results. Ooh, that's a good one, because you, girl, be looking and straining for results all goddamn day. Guess I gotta stop. Exertion and forced effort. Oh, this one kills me. Exertion and forced effort keep us from accessing our innate balance and inner harmony. That sucks to hear, but it's totally true. And I've read that from several different authors. Trying is resisting. I've said that before. It is essential to understand that it's the egoic identity alone who has the poor quality of life, whether the body is sick or not. The self, what you really are, is formless, free, and unconditional. My physical body was destroyed, permanently paralyzed from the chest down, racked with incomprehensible pain, severe chronic illness, and life-threatening conditions. Yet, I was in a state of grace. Wow. That's good for you, dude. Good for fucking you. If I had all that, I'd be like, why does God hate me? Why does everything bad happen to me and not everyone else? No one else is going through something bad except me. And it just wouldn't have been a ripe environment for healing, shall we say. I did not suffer. More accurately, I was in a state of cosmic consciousness, and my healing was a direct result of this. Once the egoic identity has less of a stranglehold on you, the self and its body of energy, the ailments that we are the awareness of, do not impede our quality of life like before. We have space through the freedom of non-identification, okay? So getting past the, I am a mother, I am a wife, I am a Chinese lady, like whatever your identities are that mean a lot to you, that doesn't mean what you are, like what society would label you as, but the ones that you cling to, those are the ones to look at and go, maybe we should divorce each other for a little bit and see how that feels. That work space is needed in order to repair and heal. It is always about the quality of our inner life because the outer life is not the self. Which is, boy, you go on Instagram, you see a lot of evidence to the contrary. But that's because all us motherfuckers live in our ego. We got to stop. Not only do we learn how to repair and heal our body of energy, and healing comes in many forms, but we also learn how to free ourselves from the tyranny of the egoic identity. I mean, sign me up for that, RJ. Sign me up for that. This is why the ATFHT is revolutionary. All of us have a much nobler purpose than just the prolonging of our physical life. It is time to find this out for yourself. It's the only way to truly know anything. As the egoic identity disappears, the one who is troubled disappears as well. As stated earlier, healing comes in many forms, and the physical is only one of them. Sometimes we sign up for instantaneous healing, fast healing, gradual healing, slow healing, or even no healing. That is because we must first address our higher vibrational misperceptions, misunderstandings, and misidentifications. Nothing originates in the physical, and that is why there is nothing curative in this realm. I love that sentence, nothing originates in the physical, because I look out my window often in my apartment. I love my apartment. I have the most gorgeous view that I'm thankful for every single day. And one of the reasons why I love looking at the skyline of a city is because I'm like, dude, that was all the things that I'm looking, all these gargantuan built, these huge buildings were built by people, but that was all an idea in people's heads. That was an idea. That was a spark. That was a, hey, let's make this little island. Let's kick all the native people off or pretend they're not here and we'll just kill them and make a city. I'm not saying it's all that's good, but I am saying, wow, what a powerful thing to look out the window, see the skyline of New York City, and remind yourself, like, that was all an idea in someone's head. That land didn't come like this. White people moved in and said, this is mine now. And then they built all these crazy buildings. And just the fact that it was an idea and now it's reality, it's just very, it's very impressive. That's why I like bridges. Bridges were all an idea in somebody's head. Do you know the engineering feat of a bridge? It's magnificent. A fan gave me a book about bridges after a show and I really appreciated it. And I read it. It's really good. Okay. Nothing original originates in the physical, and that is why there is nothing curative in this realm. It's not punishment. It's just how the game of self-realization is played. It's time to play it like a master, bitch. I wrote this book so we can all begin to remember how to transcend suffering, the constraints of the human condition, and boy, there are a lot of them, and enjoy a greater quality of life. Well, that sounds nice. To be able to repair and heal ourselves as well as each other. Ooh, that's fun. Is eternally within each of us. It's really about the freedom of authentic self-realization in the form of a perspective, prescriptive book. That's this book that I'm holding here that I'm reading on how to repair, heal, and transcend disharmony and ill health. Liberation, freedom, and perfection are your destiny and birthright, motherfucker. Each one of you is the physical manifestation of that birthright. Healing comes in many forms, and whatever form it begins with is of no consequence. What is important is that your liberation from suffering and is manifested here and now. Trust in yourself so completely and utterly that fear and doubt no longer exist. You could do it. You are more powerful than you could possibly imagine. I fucking know. We are all a spark of the infinite, a light that shines eternally, a life stream that continues infinitely. Your freedom from the self-imposed prison of your belief-based egoic identity and its disharmonious body of energy is how you heal and transcend. This transcendence, this freedom, is the victory of the light. If you are sacred or doubt yourself in any way, simply close your eyes, reach out, and take my hand. Oh my God, are you trying to date me, RJ? It's always there. You are trying to date me. I have pledged my internal existence to the freeing of humanity. Thanks, RJ. You probably make a good husband. I shall remain here for you in freedom, love, and triumph for all eternity. You have my unwavering devotion and attention always. I am your I am your holy brother, RJ. Well, that's cool. Guys, that was the intro to this book that I'm going to read. And then next week, we're going to read chapter one, part one. And if you want to hear the entire chapter one, part one, you'll hear the first half in the episode. And then the second half at patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson, $5 a month. You could do the just here to listen level. And you can listen to, you can binge on all of the group therapy audio that I've done over the months. And you can hear the rest of this book. And I got to say, money well spent. It's a way to support the podcast. Or if you're a business, you want to advertise on the podcast, at Michael Coscarelli or Mike?
Michael A. Coscarelli.
Michael A. Anthony?
Yes.
Michael A. Coscarelli.
At gmail.com,
baby. Wow, 54 minutes and 22 seconds of bliss. You're welcome, motherfucker. Okay, bye.